This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we pay a visit to the man who determines what your Jefferson County property is worth in a rapidly changing market. And Charlie Bermant considers the ways digital technology is transforming the transmission of musical traditions. So now let's go inside the Compass. When Jack Westerman decided to step down after more than 35 years as the man who told you what your property was worth in Jefferson County, his successor was waiting in the wings. Jeff Chapman was a sort of protege of Westerman's, a guy who was hired out of the Forest Service to be a cartographer for the tax assessor's office in the days before GIS, Geographic Information Systems, and who eventually took the department from ink and mylar to the digital age, while at the same time learning property appraising and eventually earning a title created specifically for himself of Assessment Operations Manager. Chapman easily won election to the tax assessor's job in 2014 upon Westerman's retirement, since which time he has refashioned the way the job is done. I paid Chapman a visit a few days ago at the assessor's Warren-like offices on the main floor of the county courthouse, a place where books of plat maps from the 19th century line the walls and desks are piled high with documents old and new, to talk with him about the recent upsurge in property values in the county and the reforms he has implemented that are aimed at keeping the assessed values current in a rapidly changing market. I'm here today really to talk to you about valuation, about recent trends, and I understand that sometime in the last couple of years, the whole system of assessment has changed from a sort of rotating your property gets evaluated, what was it, like every 4 years or something like that, to an annual assessment? And
yes.
So why did that change take place?
Okay, up before 2014, as you said, we were assessing on a four-year rotational basis, which means we would do one quarter of the county every year. We'd go out and physically inspect it. We'd set values, and then those values were pretty much frozen for 3 years until we came back and did it again. Of course, there were changes due to segregations or new plats.
What's a segregation? I'm sorry, what do you mean?
Well, you divide a parcel, you know, for any number of reasons. Often it was platting or short plat. You would divide it up for platting. So those, you would come in and then you would basically process those and then try to determine the value of the remaining, the parcels after compared to the parcel before.
And then in that system, you actually did like physical inspections of the property.
Physical inspections every 4 years. And then we also picked up new construction every year. So new construction is considered an added to the tax base because it's new value that wasn't there before. And so for taxing districts like fire districts or even the county or city, the new construction is important because it brings in additional revenue over what you're allowed by law based on other limitations. What happened though is when you got a four-year cycle like that, if you have huge increases or huge decreases, whether it be a recession or inflationary run, that part of the county would benefit more than others. For example, you're freezing every one quarter of the county every 4 years. So what happens if you may freeze it before a dip, and then the next 4 years comes around and it's on the rise again. So certain different parts of the county benefit from a four-year cycle more than others. And you can't predict which ones. It depends on whether you get revalued during the bottom of a dip or whether at the peak of the market. And then you come by 4 years later and then you revalue it. And then what would happen is you'd have these huge jumps, either increases or decreases, where there'd be this large change in your valuation. The idea of an annual system is that you take the spikes out of it. You value all property every year. The problem with an annual system is you have the same staff that you had with a four-year cycle, so you can't really re-inspect every property every year. So what state law allows you to do is to divide the county into six areas instead of four, to do one-year you would do the physical reinspection once every 6 years, but the other 5 years, you statistically update the rest of the areas, right? So 5/6 of the county you're statistically updating, but you're also allowed to make adjustments individually if need be. So you're fundamentally trying to do a statistical update on the other 5/6 of the county. If you find that that's not really working, like, and that happens quite a bit, is you look at an area and I say, well, all the sales in a given area are 20% higher than our assessed values. So I'll raise our assessed values by 20%. We're supposed to value at 100% of market value. Then I look at the sales and I say, well, some of these sales were a little higher than I hoped for, and some we're still too low on. Well, what do you do then? And what I'll do if I can, if I have the resources to do it, is I'll go in and actually do another physical inspection of that area, even though it's not in our 1/6 of the county that we're scheduled for physical. I can go in and look at that area and say, why is this inequity there? And then make adjustments as need be to try to even that out. The reason is, if you're inspecting, you know, a piece of property every 6 years, there are changes that are not really going to be reflected by statistics. And statistics assume that everybody appreciates or depreciates about the same amount. You can go in and do improvements to your place. You can keep it at a better condition than other places, or it may deteriorate worse. You may have water damage, flooding, or other things that would not be typical. And so what happens then? Well, the way we find that in that 5/6 of the county is either people let us know.
So if I have my basement flood and the whole house is overtaken by mold and I have a huge problem, I can come and inform you and say, actually, my property has just diminished in value and I would like my assessment reduced?
You can, and then we'll go out and take a look and see if that's true or not, and or if we agree. And also, you can, of course, any property owner can appeal in any given year to the Board of Equalization. In the past, that was almost like a challenge to us. You know, we set the value, you don't like it on a four-year cycle, and you go and appeal to the board, and then it's kind of them versus us. It's really not that. It can be that way, but for the most part, it's not. It's another avenue for you that if this statistics isn't working for you and you know your property isn't worth what we have it on at, you can come in and talk with us, and then you can also appeal to the Board of Equalization. The advantage of appealing to the Board of Equalization is we take an even closer look at it because we have to prepare a case for that appeal. And in the process of preparing that case, we may perfectly well agree with you and make adjustments. And so a lot of our board cases after they get filed are actually resolved before they actually go before the board, because we take a very close look at that property and then decide that, do you have a point, do you not, or do we think, you know, do we? A couple of years ago, we had some appeals in Port Ludlow on vacant land, and we looked at those appeals and we looked at the sale price and we agreed and we turned around and recommended some 140 adjustments based on that. So a lot of other property owners benefited from those appeals because we agreed with it. And that doesn't always happen. Sometimes we don't agree and then the board will make a decision. But
I gather that we're in the middle of an inflationary period in property values here. I mean, I've been hearing that the real estate market in Port Townsend anyway has really been quite hot. I don't know what it's been like out in other parts of the county. So when the assessments go up, and I mean, especially if they were to, you know, like increase considerably, you know, year after year for several years, does that automatically mean that everyone's taxes are going to increase as well?
Ideally, if we doubled everybody's value, you wouldn't pay any more taxes than you would have anyway, because there's other limitations on the amount of money government can collect. For example, the current expense levy for county is limited to basically what you got the prior year, plus 1%, plus new construction. So that's true whether we raise your values or not. And so theoretically, they're still limited to the amount of money they can collect. So you distribute that among
the assessed values. It's not based on a percentage of the assessed value.
No. It's based on what you got, the highest lawful levy of the prior 3 years, which is usually the prior year. But you can get that plus 1%. So you're limited to that. And so if you double everybody's value, the levy rate would go down by half, and the amount of money collected would be the same. All right, so that's the ideal situation. But in general, we don't, raise everybody at the same rate every year, because what you get is you get waterfront will go up faster than non-waterfront. City of Port Townsend is going up faster than a lot of rural properties going up. So you get that different distribution is if the city goes up by 20% and parts of the county don't go up, then what's happening is you're going to get a tax shift. In other words, the city will wind up paying a little bit more than the rural than they were historically. So that's what you get. And generally, waterfront will go up faster than non-waterfront. Develop goes up faster if it has sewer. Sewer is definitely a benefit. And so Port Ludlow and Port Townsend tend to be going up a little faster than the county is.
Really? So waterfront has not been affected by worries about climate change and water level rise and that sort of thing?
Not really. Where vacant waterfront is being limited by some government regulations, more restrictions on setbacks from where you can build. So there's some of that going on. Improved waterfront is a healthy market. It's still, in other words, you already have a house built on it. There's already a residence existing. It's going up substantially.
And is that rate of increase also increasing?
Yeah, but like take the city of Port Townsend is that a lot of the sales are much, much higher than our assessed values. Now, we're measuring as of January 1st of every given year. So we're looking at sales right around January. Right now, we're looking at sales right around January 1st, 2016. We'll look at sales up through maybe March or April and then trend back. But sales we're getting right now through the summer and through late spring, that'll show up in our assessments next year. So we started raising the city 2014 we started raising them. 2015 we raised them more.
Do you know about what percentages?
We were averaging 5 to 10% last year, in some areas of the city up to 15 to 20.
What areas? City. Like uptown?
Morgan Hill, yeah. Morgan Hill is definitely going up higher, and uptown is going up higher than some of the other parts of the city, particularly the west part of the city. But we were well below our pre-recession values. Okay, in 2009, 2010, we were pretty much at the peak of our market that we've ever been. And then they dropped down to where, right afterwards, when we revalued it, we dropped them down considerably. We put through a 35% reduction on all the assessed values.
35%?
Yeah. So, we lost, the countywide, we lost about $1 billion worth of value. We just dropped way down into the recession. We still haven't done the city yet on a reinspection cycle. Like I said, we're inspecting 1/6 of the county every year, and we're not scheduled to actually reinspect the city until 2019. All right. And yet the values are going up. So it's all being based on statistics right now. But I'm up to, in some parts of the city, like we said with Morgan Hill, I'm up to those pre-recessionary values already on statistics. So we're getting up to 35% higher than our bottom end values, and we're beginning to exceed those pre-recessionary drops.
So in other words, in some areas the prices are as high as they've ever been.
Yes. In some cases we're seeing double what our assessed value is in some of these sales. Again, we started bringing the city up in 2014, a little bit more in 2015, a little bit more this year, and you'll see not only are there going to be increases this year that we haven't sent out yet, but there'll be more increases next year. We see that the market's continuing to go up. So it's again like a four-year phase, which again is what annual is all about. Instead of once every 4 years seeing these huge jumps or huge drops, you're seeing it more graduated to where the, you know, this increase in market that's going on, you're seeing it phased in over 4 years in your values. And then if, again, we don't know what the values are going to do, whether they're going to continue to go up or whether they're going to plateau at some point.
So Port Townsend is the hottest market. Are there any areas of the county that are actually sinking in value right now?
No, there isn't. Port Townsend's the hottest. Port Ludlow's doing well. Calla Point, we're going to be raising Calla Point and Cape George. Maristone, which is our next year, our physical inspection area in 2017 is the Tri-Area and Maristone. So we'll be going through next year and inspecting every place. I think one problem I'm having is I think I'm a little low on this year. I'm going to be a little low on the market for the Tri-Area. And the reason is because when I try statistically updating it, I got high sales, I got low sales. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to have assessed values that are over sale prices. So because we're going to go through and equalize that, we're going to go on through and reinspect everything this next year. I'm raising some things that where I'm comfortable, but for the most part, that area is going to get a lot of scrutiny next year.
How many inspectors do you have?
I have four. Yeah, I have one commercial appraiser and I have three residential appraisers.
And how many employees in the assessor's office altogether?
10. We do a lot more than just reappraise property. We maintain the property rolls for the county, all the parcels. And those parcels are the foundation for everything the county does, from environmental health to planning department. They're all based their work on our parcel system and our coding and our parcel system. And the other thing we're beginning to see is a lot of fees being implemented, and probably because of that 1% reduction. It used to be 6%. You know, you could increase the amount of money collected every year by 6%. Well, some years ago, and there was a revolt by folks that they were seeing the taxes going up too quickly, and they held it down to a 1% limit for your regular levies, your non-voted levies. And so that 1% has been a difficult for the regular level. I mean, again, you're going from the ability to have 6% more each year in revenue or in what you can budget to 1% more of what you can budget. Well, one of the fallouts of that,
which might not even keep up with inflation.
It doesn't keep up with inflation. And you look for other revenue sources, but again, when you look for other revenue sources, what other revenue sources are there? Well, there's state and federal grants or some system like that. There's other things we look at, but the other one is fees. So what you start seeing is you see more fees that are allowed by the law, by the state law, to be implemented at the county level. And so in recent years, we had a noxious weed fee that was brought in, and we had a clean water fee that was brought in. A couple new fees next year, maybe. Conservation district fee, on-site septic fee. So we're beginning to see like several fees that we didn't have 4 or 5 years ago. And they're actually added into the assessment roll. I mean, they're basically put onto the property that we maintain here so that when we send out tax statements, these fees will be on there.
So in order to put those fees in, like, let's take the on-site septic system fee, for example. What service is being provided in return for that fee? I mean, like the septic system's there, it's been there. What is the county providing in return for that fee?
Well, again, I don't create the system. That's created by environmental health. But my understanding is, right now, if you have a conventional septic system, you're required right now to have it inspected every 3 years. Well, part of that inspection is a $65 fee for filing for the processing. And then there's also an inspection fee for actually somebody to come out and do the inspection. And you can hire someone to do that. You can do it yourself if you're trained. You're supposed to pay that $65 every 3 years. And if it's a non-conventional system, it's every year. Well, what the on-site septic fee would be, that would be through the property tax system, it would replace that with a fee that is annually assessed on in your property system, that your tax statement will be there. The fee will be on your tax statement, so you'll have to pay it. And it'll be to every owner of a septic system. And it'll cover that $65 fee. So you won't have that anymore. And what the fee is for is to cover the cost of administering the program. That's my understanding. That fundamentally the staffing and environmental health, and as well as some of their processing, their computer system, well, for this specific purpose, that it would cover those costs.
So we're almost out of time here, but there's one last question, which is that when an assessor comes and does a physical inspection of a property and discovers that, oh, for example, there's a new structure on the property that's not reflected in permits or anything. In other words, it's an unpermitted addition to the property. What does the assessor do? Is that a sort of reportable offense that the assessor, like, you know, gets involved in, you know, reporting to the planning department? Oh, there's a new structure here that wasn't there before.
No, we don't turn people in. We don't even know that it's a non-permitted structure. I mean, there's a lot of structures in this county that don't require permits. You know, agricultural buildings. We don't really try to figure out if what somebody's doing is, particularly from a building point of view, is legal or not legal. I mean, if we see something that's really obvious, you know, like you're draining septic into a creek, that one is a red flag for us that maybe we better talk to the environmental health department about that. But for the most part, we're not policing the permitting system. What we're doing is looking for value. If you have value, and it's taxable, we're going to put it on the rolls. And again, there has to be a certain amount of trust there, is that we're allowed by law to go on people's property. We don't need permission, really. But we try to be as non-invasive as possible. So we'll talk to the people ahead of time. If they want us to come back, we can do that. And generally, when we're out there, we're not trying to spy on you or report what you're not doing. Our appraisers are only interested in value. That said, what do we do with all that information? We put it into our system. Pictures, everything else goes into our system. So it is available to the environmental health department or building department to see what's out there if they have some reason to look. So they do that all the time, as they use our system, because it is the basis, is they use our system to see what is on the property.
And physical inspections mean actual physical inspections, or do you actually also use like satellite imagery, or do you?
We do. We generally don't go into the houses. We don't use drones, all right? We do use satellite imagery. But really, the way we gather information about property is physical inspection. We have a person go out there and look at the place and decide what's there. Now, we can't always do that. Some places are gated or fence.
Have vicious dogs.
Yeah, well, we deal with a lot of dogs. We're like mailmen, you know. We carry dog bones in all our cars, you know, dog biscuits. But you know what we'll do is we'll try calling. If it's gated, we can't get in, we'll call and see if the person will meet us out there or show us how to, you know, that fundamentally we're again not trying to. Our job is to get value for taxes, and that's what we're focusing on, and that's what we're doing.
I imagine, though, you run into a fair amount of hostility or just outright refusal people saying, no, I don't want you coming on the property. What do you do in that case?
You know, it's not as common as you think. People have been really nice to our appraisers and really good. I mean, it's a rare occurrence when you have someone who actually will refuse this access or try to refuse this access. We almost never, I can't even remember when, we'd had to have a police escort or something like that.
No, they never had anybody run you off with a shotgun or anything like
no.
that?
No. Uh-uh. No, people, when they understand what we're there for, and that's usually the hardest thing, is that first moment when you get there and you haven't really identified yourself. I mean, we try, you know, our cars have logos on and we're usually wearing vests and ID tags. But that first engagement, when they don't really know who you are and why you're there, can be a little rough. But once they know who we are, they're usually very nice.
The comic strip hostility to the revenueers, that's not...
No.
Been your experience.
No. Even the West End of Jefferson County, again, the people don't see us all that much, But they're usually pretty hospitable once they know who we are, and they'll invite us into their houses when, you know, we're trying to get on to the next place. And so no, what I find is if folks in Jefferson County are pretty good, and if they're angry, a lot of times they have an, you know, it's hard sometimes to get to what their issue is, but their issue is a lot of times founded, you know, that maybe that we are overvaluing their properties. And once you can actually address the issue they have, they're happy that we're listening to them and that we're willing to change our values.
With Jefferson County Tax Assessor Jeff Chapman, this is Steve Evans reporting for KPTZ Community Radio News.
The 24th Annual Port Townsend Acoustic Blues Festival, held earlier this month at Fort Worden State Park, continued the tradition of keeping the music alive by passing it from one generation to the next by hand. Represented in spirit were the old blues masters, now all gone, whose music and techniques were taught mostly by the middle-aged veterans to a younger group, eager to learn and keep the blues flame burning. But the learning process has changed with the times. It appeared that each of the 230 attendees carried at least one portable electronic device, perched in array at the front of each classroom and recording the proceedings, then allowing students to play the audio and video recordings at their leisure. Video and audio helps people to learn a song more thoroughly than from a written document or contact with someone who is sitting next to you. It provides a richer learning experience than the laborious tablature process, printed grids where each of six lines represents a string with a number indicating on which fret the note is to be played, which makes your head hurt just thinking about it. Instructor Elijah Wald says that technology has its good and bad sides.
Technology is never a good thing or a bad thing. It helps, you know, it's good for some things, bad for other things. Film and recording is certainly better than tablature. My generation, we mostly use tablature, and that's a horrible way to learn this kind of music. Much, much better to learn it by watching film of people.
Guy Davis, also on the faculty, has mixed feelings about technology, acknowledging that it has allowed him to hear songs and performances that he would not otherwise.
As I know, it spreads the word, it spreads the sounds. There are ancient recordings that I've heard only because of this technology. Old songs that I love, that I treasure, that I've stolen, appropriated, and that I do now, and I've heard them only because of digital technology. Yet, at the same time, I kind of hate digital technology. People get all lost in their iPhones and earbuds. And I find the best part of this music is presented live. It presents a very human energy. So despite my argument with technology, despite the fact that it is cold, indifferent, and collects everything, and leaves nothing, no seeds to plant in the ground sometimes for crops, I've found that it has served me. I've found that I'm larger than it. And I can use technology, I think, to good effect.
We've all been in coffee shops, offices, and family dinner tables where no one interacts with each other while burying their noses in an electronic device. It's isolating, we say, as we lament the passage of the good old days when people looked each other in the eye and had actual conversations. But you can't assume that someone glued to a screen is unproductive or frivolous. As the novelty has worn off, the devices have become essential learning and communications tools for reading the news, expressing opinions, and preserving history. Although it needs to be emphasized that using digital media to learn a classic blues tune doesn't mean that you don't have to practice. This is Charlie Berman for KPTZ Port Townsend.
This week's KPTZ Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans and Charlie Berman. The Compass airs Mondays and Saturdays at noon, Tuesdays at 5 p.m., and Wednesdays at 10 a.m., exclusively here on KPTZ, the home of eclectic, authentic community radio. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.